Tonight we come to the last message in our Easter series entitled The Road to the Hill. We've traveled over the last five Saturday evenings from the Garden of Eden to the hill called Calvary to an empty grave. And tonight we're going to finish up our series on another hill, the Mount of Olives. And allow me to share with you tonight from God's Word, the book of Acts. I'm going to begin in the sixth verse of chapter 1. The word of our Lord says unto us, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Would you bow your heads with me tonight in prayer? Oh, Father, we just thank you for this Easter weekend. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love, O Lord, in this series of messages. We have seen how you have met people and you did not hold their past against them. We've seen how you met a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery and you did not hold her present against her. We've seen that there was one who had died and you brought him back from lot to life. And Lord, you have gone before us to prepare a place for us. Oh Lord, you have a future plan for us. Lord, we've seen how sinners who have repented have been made new through the blood of Jesus Christ. And tonight, Lord, as we preach on this Saturday evening before Easter Sunday, we're praying for those who are lost tonight and those who are hurting tonight, that they would find their hope in the Son of the living God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. Now, friend, I don't know where you might be tonight. Perhaps you're listening to this message and you're in a prison cell. Perhaps you're in the hospital tonight and perhaps you're just sitting there lonely at home tonight. I don't know where you might be. Perhaps you're with your family tonight, and oh, how wonderful that is. But I want you to know tonight that this message is for every person, no matter what condition you might find yourself in, because I want you to know the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And each and every one of us is a whosoever. Some have already come to Christ, but many others have not. And tonight, you may be wondering why you're listening to this preacher down there at Green Valley on Living Faith Television. Friend, I want you to recognize it's a divine appointment. God has brought you here. And I pray tonight for you that you will hear, that you will listen, that you will open up your ears and your heart unto God and God alone. Because God can save you tonight. Your situation tonight may look impossible, but I want you to know I know a God tonight who says there is nothing impossible for him. God can make your impossible situation possible tonight. And I hope tonight that you will hear the Savior calling unto you. Now, family and friends, our travels through the Holy Bible, they've taught us why Jesus went to the cross. We've witnessed what Holy Scripture teaches in relation to Jesus rising from the dead. We know that Jesus Christ is alive right now. And so a question that many folks have, but some are fearful to ask, and so they wonder about. So on this Easter weekend, we're going to take up the question. Many wonder, what is Jesus Christ doing now? Well, I want to look first of all tonight to answer that at the context. You see, the Holy Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ speaks with his followers one more time here in the book of Acts before he ascends up to heaven. Last words are very important. How many of you listening tonight would agree that if you're going to speak to somebody one last time, it would be important for you to give thought? If you knew tonight that you were going to speak to the person you care about most one last time, you only have one more time to speak to them. How many of you would agree that you would probably measure your words very carefully? How many would say, well, if I was going to speak to someone I love one last time, I'd want to say what is most important to them. I'd want to express my heart, perhaps in a way that I have never expressed it to them before, but I want that one to know how much they mean to me. And the Bible here helps us understand that Jesus Christ, his time here on earth is now over. He is ascending back into heaven. And he's going to speak. He speaks for the last time while here on planet earth. We're going to come back to his words a little later. But he speaks for one last time and then he is gone. He is taken up, in other words, into heaven. Beyond our eyesight, beyond, we watch him go. The Bible says he was taken up as the disciples watched. He was taken up alive and well, and he rises into a cloud, and that's it. He's beyond their eyesight. While the disciples are standing there with their jaws agape, angels appear and they begin to speak. They say, why are you busy standing here? Why are you standing here like this? Get busy. You heard what he said. There are things to do. And he's coming back in the clouds just like he left you. Well, it brings me to the second thing. We're talking about the context. Now let's talk about what's Jesus up to since he left here alive. So it means if he's left here alive, he exists somewhere right now. What's Jesus doing now? Would it surprise you tonight to know that Jesus is having a conversation with God the Father about you and me? You see, the Bible says, I want to take this verse up here in Romans, the 8th chapter, the 34th verse. The Bible says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Well, let's discuss this for just a few moments tonight. The Bible says Jesus is at the right hand of God. In the Jewish understanding, the right hand of God was the position of power and authority. And so God, the Son, Jesus Christ, is now in the sole position of power and authority over all. So what's Jesus doing here at the right hand of the Father with all the power and authority given him? What's he doing? The Bible tells us he's interceding for us. He's having a conversation tonight about the preacher there at Green Valley. He's having a conversation about the lost man whom his word is going out to tonight. Interceding means he's talking about, he's discussing, he's pleading, he's standing up for. Jesus is talking about standing up for you and standing up for me. Now note what the verse here in Romans 8:34 teaches. It doesn't say that Jesus is condemning you or I. The Bible says he's standing for us. He's making intercession for us. Lost person tonight, Jesus knows right where you are. He knows your lost condition, and he's asking God the Father to remove Satan's hands off of you, to convince you in your mind that you are lost, to convict your heart that you would realize that without Jesus, you have no hope at all. Without Jesus, the blazing fires of hell await. He's asking God to make it very clear to you tonight. He's asking God, get the devil's hands off of him. Wake him up. Let him come unto me. He's pleading your case for you tonight. Just as he's pleading my case. He's up there in heaven saying, oh Lord, help that preacher down there say it right tonight, that someone will understand, that someone will repent, that someone will receive me as Savior. Friend, when we stumble, Jesus stands for us before God the Father. When we fail, when we sin and fall short of God's glory, Jesus pleads for us before God the Father. And when we succeed, he says to God the Father, don't let it go to their head. Don't let them get prideful. Don't let them think they're better than what they are. Keep them even keel, Lord. Let that man think soberly lest he fall. Friend, Jesus Christ is our security. We have an advocate before God the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. This means that our security is found in Jesus Christ who lives today. The Bible says, Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And the Bible answers that question for us. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right now, at this very moment, Jesus is talking to God about you and about me. Think about that, friend. Jesus knows who's listening to tonight's message from him. Jesus knows all of those who have a teachable spirit. Jesus knows all of those who are seeking to grow in grace and in the knowledge of him. Jesus knows who is lost and in desperate need of a Savior. Jesus knows you right where you are at tonight. He knows your circumstances. He knows whether you're up or whether you're down. Jesus knows all about it. He knows those who are willing to be used so that he can glorify himself through them. You realize tonight what Jesus desires from us is that he wants to show himself to the world through Christians who are devoted to him, who are more than Christians. They've become disciples of him. There's a verse we need to bring together to help us here tonight. The first, it's in Colossians 1 and 18. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. This verse teaches that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, which is his church. 1 Corinthians 12 and 27 teaches that we are the body of Jesus Christ, the church. The verse says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Let's put them together, and this is what we learn. Jesus is the head. We are the body. He is where the thought occurs, and we are to react to the thought. We are to think how our head, Jesus Christ, wants us to think. We are to go where our head, Jesus Christ, wants us to go. We are to speak to those who are in need of Jesus Christ. We are to do what our head, Jesus Christ, wants us to do. When we go back to Acts 1 and 8, what do we discover? Jesus says that we who know Christ through repentance and faith and trust are his witnesses. Think about that. Each one of us has been given a circle of influence. As a child of the living God, each one of us has been put in a particular circumstances, in a particular community, in particular jobs, in order to reach particular people, people who need to know about Jesus Christ. And I may never go to your community, but God has you there. Are you sharing what God has done for you? We're his witnesses. We're to show the world what Jesus Christ has done for us. You may be wondering why. Because Jesus Christ wants to show himself to the world through you and I. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, he told his disciples, "Ye shall be my witnesses." Friend, if you're a Christian, God has given you a testimony. You're to tell people what you were like before you knew God was dealing with you. You're to be able to tell people how you knew God was dealing with you. And you're to be able to tell people what God's been up to in your life since you repented and put your faith and trust in him. Jesus Christ wants to show himself to the world through you and I. And I hope we all realize that we carry Jesus with us wherever we go. I pray we're living like it. I pray we're living distinctly different from this old world that people will say, well, you know, there's a peculiar person. There's something about them. They're different. That's how we let the light shine. What did Jesus do when he was here physically? He served as a servant and he ministered to the needs of others. That's who we're to be doing today. That's what we're to be doing today. We're to be his servants, ministering to the needs of others, because the Bible says As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Friend, how is the world going to ever know the grace of God if we who have been saved by the grace of God are not grace-filled and react like Jesus Christ? Now, why should we be doing these things? Because the Bible teaches that Jesus is preparing a permanent place for us. He gave his disciples, of which all who believe in Jesus Christ are to be one, these words: let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Think about that. I don't know what's involved in this preparation. I don't know what kind of construction is taking place right now. I don't know what the final structure is going to look like. I don't know a lot about heaven tonight, but I do know that Jesus is preparing a place. He's preparing my place, and he's preparing your place. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as I do, our place is going to be with God the Father in heaven. Our place is going to be with Jesus Christ the Son in heaven. And friend, we're going to be there forever. Not just today, but forever and ever and ever, for all eternity. That is why we need to be thinking about our future, because we're going to spend the rest of our lives there. Friend, do you know your future tonight? Think about this. You need to know your future because you're going to spend the rest of your life there. How much thought do you give to your future? If you were to die tonight without Jesus Christ, where would your future be? The Bible teaches it be in a place called hell. Do you really want to go to hell tonight? There are some who do not know the way. Do you know the way to heaven tonight? And if you do know the way to heaven tonight, who are you sharing it with? There are some who do not know the way. Allow me to share with you the answer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. Friend, Jesus Christ is the only way to God the Father in heaven. And I pray every man would know that way, because Jesus has said he's preparing to come and get us. Jesus has promised that he's coming back to take those who are his home to heaven. He's coming back to take all those who believe in him to be with him. And the Bible tells us that he is coming soon. Soon means that when he decides, it is going to happen very quickly. And until he comes, we are to occupy, in other words, we are to allow him to show himself to the world through us, the child of the living God. We're to let our little light shine. Now some wonder when he is coming. Some say, I've heard that all my life. I'm 50, 60, 70 years old. He ain't come yet. I don't know if I can believe that. Well, friend, what you can believe is that Jesus is coming. The Holy Bible says, and it teaches, it is not for us to know when. It is for us to be ready, that when he comes, we will be ready to be taken up with him. Let me ask you this. How close to Sunday were you yesterday? How close to Sunday are you now? Only a fool would deny the plain truth that we're a lot closer on Saturday night to Sunday than we were on Friday night. Well, friend, in the same way, we're a lot closer to meeting Jesus tonight than we were last night. And therefore, we need to hang on to these truths and never let them go. There's four things I hope you'll take from this message tonight. I want you to remember that Jesus Christ is standing before God the Father tonight, and he's making intercession for you. I want you to know that he wants to show himself to the people of the world through his church right now. I want you to remember he has a place for you right now. I want you to remember Jesus said, I'm coming back. Tonight as we bring this message and this series to a close, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Has there come that point in your life when you said, yes, I have failed. Oh God, I've fallen short of your glory. Oh God, I'm in need of a sinner. Lord, I don't want to go to hell. Not wanting to go to hell, that's reason enough to be saved. Amen. Friend, can I ask you, why spend eternity in hell when you can spend eternity in heaven with God the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son? Tonight, through my voice, through this ministry, God is offering to all who have heard this message a free pardon tonight. What would you rather have, a fair trial or a free pardon? God is offering you a free pardon, the complete forgiveness of all of your sin. Will you accept it? Wherever you are tonight, will you repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ to save you for your sins? I'm going to pray, and if you want to receive God's gift of forgiveness and salvation, you pray along with me sincerely tonight, asking God for your salvation. Lord Jesus, please come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord. Please forgive me of my sins and give me the gift through your amazing grace and your love of eternal life. Oh Lord, save me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now friend, if you prayed that prayer tonight, I want you to be assured that you are saved. But will you do what others have already done? Will you write to us at the address on the screen? Or will you call us? Will you let us know of your decision so we can get materials into your hands to strengthen you in your walk with God? If you're a Christian tonight, I wonder what steps you should take. You write to us so that we can get materials into your hands. And now may the God of all mercy and grace make his face to shine upon you now and forevermore. Amen and amen.